Yeah, Steve, the conference in July will be the second week in July and is now the fourth meeting of the Chung Kung University and the University of Alaska Fairbanks. This interchange for Pacific Rim information started out initially working in the mining area. Was the brainchild of Don Cook and Earl Beisline, and has since grown tremendously to incorporate other engineering, such as those represented by the School of Engineering, business, arts, and science, and covers a large gamut of those things of interest to Pacific Rim countries.
Why do we I don't need my questions. Why do we have these conferences?
The reason for the conferences is that an exchange of information and a recognition of the peoples of the Pacific Rim. Specifically for the School of Engineering, I am vitally interested in it because I feel that the future of Alaska hangs considerably on our development of Pacific Rim markets and interface. If this is true, then our students, our professional engineers, will have to have some comprehension of what it means to deal with Orientals. It has to have some idea of their culture, their backgrounds, and so that we don't become the ugly American, that we become good trading partners with them, and that we establish our roles and missions. So we have gone about trying to establish a relationship with Chung Kung University in Taiwan. We have also gone about trying to establish a relationship with Gifu University in Japan and a university in Korea. I'm also looking strongly at trying to build some relationship with New Zealand schools of engineering, so that we have then a community of professional engineering and people who understand each other and can deal in these areas and help support the economy of Alaska.
What is the, is there some natural bind between Alaska and the Orient, or why are we looking this way?
Oh, the natural bind between the countries on bordering on the Pacific Ocean are that the transportation and communication is a unique phenomena, and we are looking at it as we are closer than any other part of the United States to these Pacific Rim markets, and we in essence have been ignored by the lower 48, and we need to develop a trading relationship so that we don't become simply a third world nation in which we are simply exporting our natural resources without building an industrial base and an industrial economy which would blend with our environment and with our people.
Now, the countries that Taiwan is the country that's coming. Do we have any of these other conferences? Or is it just Taiwan that we are establishing these types of trade relationship, trade and educational trade relationship?
Right now, the only education trade relationships we have are with Chung Kung University, but we are developing an exchange of students with Gifu and with the Korean University. We at present have one or two Korean students who have done extremely well. We're very happy to have them. They're a significant addition to our student body. And in general, I think that it is all a very positive factor.
Do you anticipate establishing any kind of relationship with mainland China? Or is this prevented by a relationship with Taiwan? Or do you know?
I have no idea whether a relationship with Taiwan would destroy any possibility of relationship with mainland China. I have an invitation to join a group involved in an engineering study on mainland China starting in October this year, and this is one of the areas that I will be reviewing to see if such a relationship can be established.
Let's trade seats because her noise there is maybe the internet in the background. At first, I thought it was just a little bit of a
Can we tell by
We'll be able. We can use it. We'll just cut it out. Okay. No, I mean, I can use that part. Very briefly, could you tell me what is going to take place at this conference that we're having with the people from Chongqing?
Yes, this year we're looking at various problem areas which we think are a community of interest. The areas that the School of Engineering are dealing with are those matters dealing with energy in the environment and construction in the environment. There are three other areas that are being reviewed, and we will have the conference is open to the public. The format will be on Tuesday, July 10th, in which we will have the normal welcoming address, but it will then fall into five different sessions chaired by some representative who is eminent in the field. And there will be three papers presented by United States, or primarily Alaska, and there will be three papers presented by the Taiwanese. Following that, in the afternoon, there will be a roundtable discussion, hopefully, in which the public interested parties will have an opportunity to join in, and over the evening, a position paper will be formulated based on not only the papers presented, but the comments and the involvement in the roundtable discussion, so that the conference may come up with some mutual position for tackling these problems both in Taiwan and Alaska. Now, the problems, for example, in construction in the environment and for energy in the environment are similar between both countries. We are worried considerably in the energy production of the pollution of the atmosphere if we use coal, and we're worried about the environment if we dam our streams. And in the construction area, the impacts of construction on all types of the environment are important both to Alaskans and to the Taiwanese, so that we do have a mutual area, and we're looking at those areas in which we can tackle them and not destroy the industry, but also to preserve our way of life.
Now, Chongqing University, we've had various exchanges. This is our fourth, Chongqing is our fourth exchange. And have we worked on these same areas in the past, or these new areas that have been developed?
These are new areas. Up till now, it's been an exchange of information without working towards a definition of problems and a definition of solutions. This is a new approach to it, and we hope that in the future what we will be able to do is to provide mutual teamwork on specific problems so that they can be tackled both here and in Taiwan. We will have an exchange of solutions rather than an exchange of problems, rather than a presentation of just papers.
I've jumped around quite a bit. Is there anything that I haven't asked that you would like to include on this?
Yes, there is one really vital thing, Steve. Fairbanks and Tainan, the home city of Chongqing University, have a sister city relationship. And last May, when I took the group to Taiwan, we've consummated the sister city affair. Mayor Bill Wally asked me to be his representative, and as his representative, Mayor Su of Tainan entertained us royally, and we hope that the city of Fairbanks will return such an entertainment to the representatives from Tainan, who will be here the Monday, the 9th of July, and the sister city recognition will be on the afternoon of Monday. And there are many features that are being worked out by Mayor Wally and Mayor Allen, I understand. so that it will be a joint city-borough effort to respond to our sister city. This reason, a very valuable reason for this sister city arrangement, is the potential of trade relationships and building areas of economic exchange that we will both profit from.
Sounds good. I thank you for your time. The conference that we're having, Dr. Augenbaugh, what is this conference with the people from Taiwan, and why are we having it?
This conference has to do with two universities from the two areas getting together on cooperative programs, originally starting on research, and now has spread out or has broadened its base, you might say, so it includes many other topics besides research itself.
What are some of the topics that we're talking about from a Pacific Rim viewpoint, education, industry? What are some of the things we're talking about?
Well, of course, the one that's big to our school would be in the area of the minerals and mineral development, and also the shipping of our mineral resources, which they are short of, to their country. Others would be in the area of energy, construction, and tourism. At one time, we was also looking at, I think, the fisheries and that, but that has been dropped at this time.
Didn't this cooperative series of programs between the two universities originate because of someone involved in the School of Mineral Industry, well, now Mineral Engineering?
Yes, Dr. Donald Cook, who's presently over in Taiwan right now, one of his former friends when they were going to Penn State, who's from the from Taiwan, met and talked about a cooperative research together.
And what form has this program taken so far? Is this the first time it's been handled, the last time?
There's been three what you'd call meetings. The first one was in Taiwan. Second one returned was over here. They've had a second one now in Taiwan, and this will be the second one here in Alaska.
Dave, is there anything, some of these questions I've asked, if there's, you want to add?
Notice I didn't try what's his name's name. Let him do that.
Oh, I may just skip the whole thing.
Could
you tell me something about part of the program here on the 10th and the 11th of July?
Let's hold it now. Now you can.
Dave, what is going on with the musicians that are coming?
For grade school, young ladies are going to attend in addition to their two music teachers. They'll be entertaining the UAF group from time to time in the course of the conference. In addition, at the same time, the music camp will be going on here on the campus, and they will be visiting the music camp, and tentative arrangements have been made for to house these school children in the university dormitories so they can see a little bit about campus life.
I understand they're playing instruments that whose names have no direct translation into English.
Yeah, that's my understanding too.
Basically, what format will this program take, this exchange program? What's the people here? What are we going to be doing?
All right, we'll beginning having the groups get together on their topical groups, where members, two members from their group, two members from our group, or three, will then discuss or give a position paper, I should say, rather than discuss, give a position paper on that particular topic, and then there'll be a form afterwards to make a general discussion and a summary of what was given by the various members.
Sounds like there's going to be a lot of interesting material covered. Is this open to the public? People sit in, and how does it go?
Yes, it is open to the public. However, the facilities we have are very limited as far as seating capacity and accommodating people. We will be putting out advertisement for those who are interested so they can register, and we will be limiting it to about 100 or a little more than that total participation.
Something else you want to add about the format for the future of these programs?
Well, the programs hope to achieve this year, because we're not sure if they will continue to have these visits back and forth. They are costly. And we're hoping that this year we can come up after this fourth one, where the different members from the from Taiwan and ourselves hopefully can find ways of cooperating on studies and research. In other words, formulating ideas of what kind of studies need to be done, say in tourism, what kind of research and studies need to be done in the minerals area for the two countries to benefit. And of course, most of the specifics we've been looking at has been from the university side or aspect, but the whole general economy and the political side has been looked at also.
Do we have any distinguished speakers addressing the group, or is it entirely of great name? Do we have distinguished people coming on?
We have asked, and Senator Murkowski has agreed to give the keynote speech to lead off the conference.
Well, thank you for your time. Okay. What is your summer walking tour all about? What do you do on the summer walking tour?
Summer walking tours are designed to give the tourists and interested visitors to Fairbanks an idea of what campus is all about, the university campus. It shows them the research institutes, basically what the students do, what the facilities are offered, and just different areas that the university offers to this community and to the rest of of Alaska.
Okay. Now, you've done this last summer. What has been the response to this by the visitors? Have they liked it? Have they hated it? What have they liked about it?
The tours have been overwhelming. The tourists really enjoy what they see. There's such a large variety of interest in the tourists, and there's also a large variety in the tour itself. So to show many different areas of campus, it works out really well. Some of the main attractions have been the Geophysical Institute, mainly the Aurora Borealis slideshow. There's different, like in the library, there's different lithographs that are shown. The tourists find that interesting because they're all differently Alaskan. They think the Alaska is definitely interesting in itself because it is different, and they like to see what is going on in it.
And you mentioned some of the special, you started talking about some of the specialized tours. What are some of the specialized tours? I understand there are five, one each day. And could you tell me, just talk about some of the specialized tours.
Okay, specialized tours are designed for visitors who have just specific interests. They're not interested in seeing all of campus. So what has been designed for them are on Mondays at about 2 o'clock, there's something called Education Alaska. And that meets in the information booth, which is in the center of campus. And this is designed to give tourists some kind of background on the history of Alaska, or whatever their personal interest is in Alaska, if they're just interested in the history or the agricultural or some kind of engineering project.
Well, you mentioned some of the specialized tours. What are these specialized tours each afternoon?
Okay, beginning on Mondays at approximately 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we have something called Education in Alaska. And this deals with the trends of education in Alaska, both the rural education, the educations in the local high schools, and here on campus, and also with the history of education. And it meets in the information booth, which is located in the middle of campus. On Tuesdays, we have something called the Muskox Farm, and it's a large animal research facility that is put together by the Institute of Arctic Biology. And they meet at 1:30 and at 2:15 out on Yankovich Road. And the tour itself deals with one of the facility researchers speaks to you about the muskox, the research, what they're doing with them. Also, they have reindeer and caribou that they do research on. On Wednesdays, we have something called Alaska's Mineral Wealth, and this deals with the mineral industry here in the interior of Fairbanks. And they meet in room 204 of the Brooks Building. On Thursdays, we have something called the Geophysical Institute, which is our world-renowned institute, which has about a 20-minute slideshow on the Aurora Borealis. There is a guest speaker from the seismology lab that will explain to you about the earthquakes and so forth here in Alaska. Also, you will visit the remote sensing library. and they will show you aerial photos of Alaska, also specific areas in the interior. On Fridays, we have something called the Agricultural Experiment Station Farm, which is our agricultural research area for vegetables, flowers, cows, and so forth that they research and watch the development.
Last year, when you were talking, when you worked with people, what was their response to some of these specialized tours? What was their favorite and why?
The people themselves enjoyed geophysical of the best, mainly because of the Aurora Borealis slideshow. It seemed to be something very unique to them, and they enjoyed learning about it and listening about it. Also, the muskox farm was their next one. The animals are unique themselves, and they enjoyed watching them and hearing about just their development and what they do with them.
Now, when you've worked with the people on these type of tours and gone around on various things, have they said anything? I mean, you find out interesting things from them. Do they ask interesting questions? Are they a bunch of clots? No, so I'm obviously not going to put my question on there. But what are the people like to come on these tours?
Very eager to learn. They're very interested. They always want to know questions I can't answer. But on the same token, they want to know just what makes up Alaska, why the flowers can grow when they have to wear sweaters out, when it seems really chilly to them, what the artists have in them, how they can draw and design so well, what motivates a lot of the researchers to do the type of things they're learning about at this time that they've never heard even existed. They just find Alaska interesting, so they have many questions about the mountains and the land and things around it.
Now, I understand there's a, because of such high popular demand, there's a cutoff point of how many people you can accommodate on an individual tour. It's 30. What do you recommend to somebody? Should they come on time, a little early, a little late? And what is the cutoff?
The tours start at 9 a.m. every morning at the University of Alaska Museum, and that is when I leave. And so to come about 5 or 10 minutes early would be very helpful. We do have a 30-people limit, and so if you plan on bringing a big group, it would be best to call ahead so maybe we can plan something special for you, or...
We can cut off and plan something special for you. I've jumped around quite a bit. Any things that I haven't asked you that you'd like to include or throw out? Number of these tours are out of doors. How should people dress, and do we ever cancel them because of the weather?
What we've done with the weather in the past is basically the tour is held even if it's raining, only if it's light. Oh, wait a second. Okay. What we've done in the past with the weather is basically take the whatever the tourists would like to do. If it's raining and they still like to go, we will take them. But if it's heavy raining or if it's snowing or whatnot, the possibility is going aren't very high. If it's chilly and so forth, it'd be best to wear a sweater or a light jacket. We are going to be walking for approximately 1.5 to 2 hours, so comfortable shoes would be advised. So basically, the tours aren't canceled unless the tourists themselves do not feel comfortable in walking.
Now, let's take a verbal walking tour. If you would start from the museum, just tell about where you walk to.
Okay. The tours start daily at 9 o'clock from the museum. From the museum, you will be able to look on your own throughout the museum, so the tour does not include that part of it. We just start there. From there, we will walk to the greenhouse, which is an experimental area for waste heat, in which they grow roses. Next, we will go to the Institute of Biology, the Marine Science Institute. We'll go to the Geophysical Institute after that. Following that, we'll go through the Arctic Health Research Laboratories. Then we'll walk down to the lower part of campus, passing the dorm complexes and the president's house, to the fire station, the health centers. We'll walk through our student union, coming into the lower part of campus. There I will show you and describe to you some of the facilities, why certain things are located where they are on campus. There I will show you the different buildings on campus, where some of the administrative offices are, and what goes on within them. Take you into the library, show you some of the archival facts, some old lithographs. Then we'll go into the very old part of campus, which is the first part of campus that was developed, and which is our administrative buildings, some educational buildings and talk to you about those, explain some of the history behind them, and some artifacts that are on campus, and show those to you also, and explain to you why they're there and their significance for them being on campus.
When you say go home.
And then I will show you where the shuttle bus is to take you back up to the museum, where you can get back in your car and go about your business.
When you have people visiting, where are some of the visitors you've, where do your visitors come from? Are there any particular areas that ask, like, is there off from one area ask type one type of question, another area ask a different type of question?
The visitors I have are from all over the world, all over. Most of them have their own motorhomes, and they're just driving around. And Mount McKinley is a big spot they are dying to see, and that's what they're heading for. And Fairbanks is just their stop on the way. There is no specific question that is generally asked to me, except for the flowers. Most of the women always want to know what kind of flowers are growing, and if they can grow those same kind in their backyard. Other than that, the questions are very diverse and very individual. A lot of them have their own professions, and with that in mind, they ask questions from that area. So as I go by that institute or mention that area, a question will come up of their own.
What is the dumbest question you've ever been asked?
Dumbest question. What kind of tree is this?